All right, so hopefully we got the issue fixed. I'm seeing at least on Facebook now, it looks like my audio is picking up. I don't know what the issue is. I couldn't get OBS to work or the software system that I ran it through last time with the PowerPoint. And then whenever I tried to just do Facebook Live, I had to shut down my computer, pull back up, then y'all couldn't hear me. But hopefully you can. I'll wait for a confirmation that the people can hear me and that everything looks okay. But what I want to talk about today is looks like Todd just texted me. Give me a second. Okay. He said he hears me, so that's good. What I want to talk about today is the idea, or the topic, if you will, this thought of controlling what you can control. You know, last time we talked about this pandemic coming about and the fact that God can use it to work for his good. Sometimes man in his wisdom, we're like, I don't understand how this can work out for good, but we see that God has the power and the ability to do that. And so with that, we put our trust and our faith in God that all things are going to work together for his good and that his will is going to be done. But understand that there is something that we can do, and that is you can control your reaction to this situation. And that's really an idea that we see whenever we look at the account of Job. And that's what I want to look at today for a few minutes, the few minutes that we have. Whenever we look at Job, we see there in chapters 1 and chapter 2 that things aren't going all that well for him. I mean, he was a successful and a blessed man. And as Satan's going to and fro, God sees him and asks him what he's doing. He says, I'm going to and fro. And God asks him, have you considered my servant Job? And Job said, well, he's only serving you. He's only doing good, and he's only doing right because you put a hedge around him. If you reach down and strike him and take all that he has, he'll surely curse you. And so God allows him to do it. And we see there in Job chapter 1 that that's what Satan does. He leaves from the presence of the Lord. And we see that Job loses his donkeys and his oxen and some servants that were there with him. We see that fire came down and burned up the sheep and killed servants that were there with him, with them. That camels were taken and servants were killed. And not only that, but in chapter 1 we read that his sons and daughters were eating, they were drinking in a house, and the wind blew and knocked the house over and they all died. And we can't imagine what that situation would be like. Well, right after that, we then go into chapter 2, and God says, Satan, what are you doing? He says, I'm doing the same thing, going to and fro. And he says, well, have you considered my servant Job? He's still, although you asked to do what you asked to do and to have all the possessions and things taken away from him, and even his children killed, that he still holds fast his integrity, as God says. And Satan says, well, you know, if you go and you touch his body, then in that case, in that instance, what's going to happen is he'll surely curse you. And so God allows him to, and he says, all right, you can do that. You just can't take his life. You can't take his life from him. So Satan goes out and strikes him with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Okay, and whenever he did this, it was so disgusting, nasty, painful, that Job takes a pot shirt, as the scripture says, to scrape himself while he sat in ashes. And then that gets us to the point where we look at Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. So not only has he lost all these possessions that the Lord's blessed him with, not only has he lost his children, not only is his body hurt, but we read in verse 9 how his wife reacts. And we see this here in verse 9 of chapter 2. It says, then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? And then we read, and all this, Job did not sin with his lips. I want you to focus in on that right there. And all this, Job did not sin with his lips. See, what we see here is two different reactions to events that occurred. You have Job's wife who reacted to this situation and to these events to want to curse God, and for Job to curse God and die, and he essentially want to look at this situation and curse God, as she says. And Job looks at her and says, that's not how we're going to handle this. That's not how I'm going to handle this. I'm not going to accept good from God and not accept adversity whenever it comes. See, what Job did is he controlled what he could control. He recognized and realized that he didn't do anything to bring this about. And he recognized and realized that God was in control. And we'll see that as we go throughout. But the way that he handled himself was completely different from his wife in the fact that he controlled his reaction to these events. And I think that that's something that we really need to take into consideration whenever we're thinking about our current situation and our current circumstance. Realize that things happen, that things happen, and that circumstances and situations we can't control. We're going to trust and leave that up to God. But what I can do is I can control the way that I react to that. As we read in the scripture and all this, Job did not sin with his lips. See, so the pandemic, the lockdowns, the social distancing, the economy. There are so many things that we as Americans think that we can control, especially Americans, just man in general, but especially Americans that think that we can control and that we're in control of. And as a result of this, whenever things start going haywire and things start going crazy, we have adversity. We have this fear that comes about us because we suddenly realize that we're not in control. That's one of the points in James chapter 4. That whenever James is talking about the fact that you're going to go here and there, buy and sell and all these types of things, you need to understand that, no, you can make these plans. There's nothing wrong with making plans, but really what it's about is if the Lord wills, then we will do this. And understanding that you can't control everything, but what you can do is control your reaction to those circumstances. And that's what we see with Job. And we see the comparison and the difference between him and his wife. So the question then becomes for us in the application as we look at Job and his life and his reaction to it. It's not that he didn't wonder, man, why are these things happening? But he certainly didn't start going off and blaming God. He certainly didn't start going off and cursing God and all those types of things like his wife was wanting him to. So whenever you look at us in our situation, how are we going to react to this? And that's what I want to look at for the rest of our time, is how we see many people reacting versus how we should or could be reacting. And the first area that I want to look at is the idea in the area of you can react to this whole situation with this pandemic and the lockdowns and everything like that with worry, with concern, with anxiety, or you can react to it by seeking God. See, we have Matthew state that for us in Matthew chapter, or not Matthew, but Jesus states this for us in Matthew chapter 6. He says in verse 31 through 34, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. See, what we need to make sure that we're doing is that we're not reacting to this situation going down the path of worry and concern and anxiety and stress. It's not that those things aren't going to come about and that you're not going to have different things that you have to work through and pray about and lean upon God. But what we need to do is think about the fact that you can react in one of two ways. You can go down the path of complete stress and worry and concern and go down that path and really wear yourself down, or you can react by turning to and seeking God. And the understanding that we see from Jesus here in Matthew chapter 6 is that idea that you have all these things prior to verse 31, 25 through verse 30, is you have all these different things that the Lord takes care of. If he takes care of those things, how much more so will he take care of you? You don't need to worry about these things. It's one of the points of the psalmist in Psalm chapter 8. Whenever he's looking about and seeing creation and seeing God in his power, in his ability, in his statement there in Psalm chapter 8 is, what is man that you are mindful of him? And so we need to understand that God is mindful of man. And instead of this situation turning to worry and concern, we need to instead turn to him and start seeking him. See, we can that's one way that we can react. Another way that we can react is to either be consumed with media, or we can be consumed with God's word. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to say that we don't need to be watching the news or paying attention to what's going on so we can be wise with our choices and our decisions. But what I'm trying to get across is this point. So many times whenever we come across these situations, we just turn to the media and we get so consumed by it, and we're trying to figure out what do we need to do, or what's going to happen and all those types of things. And the bottom line is, the media can't tell you any more what's going to happen than you could. Yeah, they might be able to give you direction of what the political powers that be might be deciding, or the way that the data is trending. But if we are just consumed with that media, if we're just consumed with that in our life, all it's going to lead to is more worry and concern and anxiety. Instead, be consumed with God's word. You know, Psalm 119, 105 tells us, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path, and a light to my path. See, there's this. God's word is what guides us. It is that guiding light in our life. It's not knowledge of a situation. It's not knowledge of the unknown. I mean, how fluid has this thing been? We think we understand the way things are going to work out because it seems like politically and economically things are working down this path, and then all of a sudden in the blink of an eye, it goes down this path. See, what we need to understand is, it's not wrong to listen to media and to understand what's going on, and to try to make wise decisions from the information that you're given. But if that's what you're consumed with, it's going to cause you to continue to worry. It's not going to give you any direction. What gives you direction, what's going to help you through this, is the word of God. God's word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. Not knowledge, not information from the media. It's God's word. And that's where we need to turn to. And it's two different reactions that we can have to this situation. Another reaction that we can have to this situation is, we can either go down the path and start thinking, how this affects me, or we can start thinking about how I can help others. Now, once again, don't get me wrong, we definitely need to make sure that we're making choices and decisions to make sure that we are protecting and taking care of ourselves. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, we can go down the path of being so worried and so concerned about how this affects me, how this affects the company that either I work for, or my job, or maybe it's the company or business that I own, how this affects all these different things, but more of a selfish look, and not think about the fact that you aren't the only one going through this. And others are going through this as well, and they could certainly use the encouragement. And that's one of the ideas that we see in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Peter says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And whenever you think about the situation and what's going on there in 1 Peter, he's writing to those who are being persecuted. He's writing to those who are going through rough times as a result of standing for truth. And one of the things that he's telling them to do to help everybody get through it is to not focus on yourself, but with fervent love for one another. Be hospitable. Now, I understand our situation in the social distancing. We may not be able to have people over into our homes. But we can no doubt love one another and have other people in mind. As each one has received a gift, as he says, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What we can do is, we can, instead of being just so consumed by how this affects me, yes, make sure you're making wise decisions for you and your family. But not just staying there. Look, how can I help others? And one might ask, well, in this situation, how can I help others? I mean, I'm shut into my home. We can't go anywhere. All those types of things. You know, it doesn't take much to offer up some encouragement by sending others a text message, checking in on them, seeing how they're doing. Tell them that you love them, that you care about them, that you're thinking about them, and that you're praying for them, and that you're looking forward to the time whenever we get past this and you can see them again. You know, I think about my family, my wife's parents and my mom and dad. You know, being grandparents, how encouraging it is and how uplifting it is whenever you're shut in. Both my dad and my father-in-law are owners in businesses, and the stresses that come along with that during this time especially, how encouraging can you be by sending them pictures of their grandchildren and just giving them a call and talking to them and letting them know that you love them and you care about them and you're praying for them. Not only your parents, but members of your congregation. You can talk to them and send them that scriptures. Check in on them. What about going and dropping off food? You know, it's something that we might not be able to be a hospital from the standpoint of having people in our home, but we can go over and we can drop off food and we can encourage them in that sense and just let them know that we care for them. There's a lot of things that we can do. Again, we can go down that path of how is this going to affect me? How does it affect me? And only be there and only be thinking about ourselves, or we can understand and realize I'm not the only one going through this. I am going to help out others as well. I'm going to look to be a source of encouragement as much as I can. And whenever you do that, it's amazing how it makes you somewhat forget what's going on. I mean, you can't completely forget the situation that we're going through. It's surrounding us. But how it takes your mind off of that because you're being a servant to others and you're showing that love, you're showing that care and that concern. Well, there's no doubt there's so many different ways that we can react to a situation like this. And the whole point of what I'm trying to bring out, I just went through three different examples of how we can react versus how we should be reacting. The whole point of this, going back to Job, is this. You can't control the circumstance. You can't control what's going on. But what you can do is you can control you. And you can control the choices that you're going to make and how you're going to react to this situation. And you know, that's the idea that we get from Scripture, the principle that is laid out in Joshua. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, as Joshua is concluding his final speech there to the children of Israel after they've gone through and conquered Canaan, what we see is Joshua issue a statement that if you don't have it highlighted or underlined in your Bibles, please do so. He says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you will dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And this is what I want you to focus in on, highlight, underline, hold close to your heart, and understand that you can make a choice for yourself this day whom you will serve. And that idea that we have in Scripture is that it is a choice. This isn't something that God makes us choose certain ways. The choice is ours. Are we going to react in a way in which is a source of encouragement and light and leaning upon God? Or are we going to react in a way in which is discouraging, that is only focused on self? You see, the choice is ours, and we have that ability to choose. It was something Job recognized. His wife had the ability to choose how she was going to react to the situation, and he had the ability to choose how he was going to react. And we see two totally different choices. And it wasn't that God made one choose one way and made another choose another. No, each man makes his own choice. And that's what Joshua is saying here. Choose for yourselves this day. And so for me, that's a source of encouragement. Because what I recognize and realize from that is I can choose how I'm going to react to this situation. I can react to it by turning to God. I can react to it by finding ways to help out others. I can react to it in a way of righteousness. Or I can react in a way where I push God away. Which is it going to be? That's one of the most encouraging scriptures that I think we have and that we see, and hopefully can help us through this time. I know it's really encouraging to me. Before I end this live session, one thing that I do want to do is point out what happened at the end of Job. And what we see at the end of Job is something that's very encouraging. You see the way that Job reacted. And as we go throughout the book of Job, it's then from that point, it's his friends trying to tell him that the reason why all these bad things happen is because you've sinned. And he's like, I have not sinned. I haven't done anything wrong. And his friends are trying to say this, and Job recognizes that he didn't do anything wrong, and this was out of his control. And as a result, we read there in chapter 2, verse 10, he did not sin with his lips. But I want you to see how this book concludes, because this is so encouraging to me. The way Job reacted, the way Job handled himself. We get to the very end and we see something here in Job chapter 42, verse 10. After everything had happened and everything had been cleared up, it says, "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." And not only that, as you continue there in that section of scripture and you look down in verses 12 through 17, we see that the Lord blessed Job in his latter days. He gave him animals, he gave him sons and daughters, and he gave him a long life full of age. No doubt that this is encouraging for us. What Job went through, none of us can even imagine. None of us can imagine going through what we are now. We've never seen anything like it. But if we make that choice to control what we control and control our reaction to this and react in a proper way, in a way that turns to God, in a way that draws near to Him, in a way that leans upon Him, the Lord will see us and help us through it. It might not be that He restores you as He did Job, but no doubt we see throughout Scripture those who turn to God, the Lord is with them, and the Lord protects them and restores them. And that's exactly what happens at the end of this account. I hope that this has been encouraging. I hope it's been edifying and uplifting. I know for me it is. Because whenever we go through these types of situations, and it might not be, again, we've never seen anything like this, but whenever we go through hard times, a lot of times there is that understanding that there's nothing I can do, because there isn't. I didn't cause this. And so we lean upon God, but there is something that I can do from the standpoint is I can choose whether I'm going to react in a way in which honor and glorifies God, in which uplifts the Lord and exalts the Lord, that lets my light shine. You know, we read there in 1 Peter 4, if you back up into chapter 3, verse 15, the idea there that we see is that there are people who ask a reason for the hope that is in you. Well, why would somebody ask for a reason for the hope that is in you? They see your light shining in a moment whenever you're going through turmoil. And they're wondering, why does this individual have hope? Now, obviously, that hope that we have is hope for eternal life. That hope that we have is that hope in Jesus Christ. But no doubt, whenever we turn that way, we can edify, we can encourage, we can let our light shine, and we can maybe even convert those who are outside of Christ. Again, make that choice today. You can make the choice in how you're going to react to this situation. I hope you found this edifying. I hope you found this encouraging. And I appreciate you being here with me this day. And if you have any questions at all about what was studied, well, whenever, if you want to have a Bible study, please message me on Facebook. Let me know, because certainly want to take that time and opportunity to talk about God's Word. Pray that you have a great rest of your day, and God bless.